Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. And I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. Dear friends of Christ, one of the greatest hymns of the church, all hail the power of Jesus' name. And then, of course, we have that refrain, and crown him Lord of all. All hail the power. But how do you crown Christ Lord of all in your lives? What does that look like? To crown Christ in your life. To make him the crowning factor. The crowning, the determining factor in everything that you say and everything that you think and everything that you do. It's easy. It's easy to say, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Not as easy to crown him as Lord in your life. The words flow much easier. But yet we endeavor to do that, crown him. Paul endeavored to do that too. Paul not only endeavored to do that, he did it. And that determination of Paul spurs us on to be the type of people that God needs in his kingdom that he can use. People who crown him Lord of life, who then put Jesus as a priority in their life, and they want to tell people. When I do sermons like this about us, you know, telling people about Christ, it's interesting because I know how seldom that happens in our lives. We're good, some of us, at telling our children about Christ. We're good, some of us, at telling our families about Christ. We're good, some of us, at telling our friends about Christ. But Paul told everybody. That Paul was determined, and he shared the gospel with the world, to everybody that he knew. He was determined to let people know about Jesus Christ, the gospel. That's what Paul did. And we want this for ourselves, and we want this for our congregation. We certainly want it for our community, for our neighbors, and for our friends. This is what we all want. All hail the power of Jesus' name. And then our theme, crown him Lord of all. In our Old Testament lesson, we talked about and heard about how Christ has crowned creation with his naming of all the stars. The Apostle Paul understood our great God, and he was compelled by the gospel to tell the story, the message of salvation through the blood of Christ. To tell as many people as possible, Paul says, I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. And I think, what makes a person like that tick? Woe to me if I don't tell people about Jesus. What gives that kind of person a spirit like that? A passion in his heart like that? And Paul gives us the answer. And it's a short answer, and he emphatically says it, the gospel, the gospel, the gospel, the gospel. That's what gives me my passion. The gospel is the driving force that gives him a determined spirit. Paul understood, without Jesus all die. Our first hymn, right? Satan has a plan to destroy you. He has a plan, and he comes to wipe you off the face of the earth so that you might spend an eternity with him. Well, thank you very much, but that's not a good thing. And Paul understands that without Jesus, all people die, and not just physically. Without Jesus, all people are going to die eternally in hell, condemned, lost forever. And people don't know. People are lost, but they don't know they're lost. People are dying, but they don't know they're dying. They don't know what's going to happen to them on Judgment Day. Someone needs to warn them. Someone needs to tell them. And Paul was up to the task. Paul was ready and willing. Why? Because he understood the lost. He had once been lost. He had once walked in darkness. He had once blasphemed God's name. He had once killed Christians, and he was on the way to hell. Jesus changed all that for Paul. Jesus came to him and saved his soul. And Paul knew what it's like to be lost forever and not know that you're lost, because he thought he was saved. He thought his life was pretty good. He thought he was going to stand good before God. But he understood that if it were not for the mercy of God, for the grace of God, his soul would be damned. Paul was thankful. Thankful for God's mercy. He was thankful for God's undeserved love. How about you? Are you thankful for your Christ? For the salvation you have in his blood? For the righteousness that covers your sins? For the gift of salvation? Do you appreciate the fact that he sets you free from your sins? Or do you have regrets? I think about Paul, and I think Paul must have had regrets because he was out there, and before he became a Christian, he was a persecutor of God's church, a killer of God's people. He hated the name of Jesus. And I think, how often did he have to think about his past? Does your past bother you, the things you've done? Burden you? I wonder if Paul wasn't burdened daily by the fact that he was a persecutor, an enemy of Christ, an enemy of the name of Jesus. I wonder if that bothered him. How often did he think about those days when he was lost, those days when he was blind, those days when he walked in darkness? I'm certain he remembered the day when the Lord Jesus came to him on that road to Damascus and opened his eyes and gave him the gospel. That changed Paul's life forever. Paul was riding along, and Jesus meets him on the path, and Paul says, "Who are you, Lord?" And the voice comes and it says, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." Paul once hated the name of Jesus, and now he loved it. All hail the power of Jesus' name, and crown him Lord of all. He found himself not only confessing Jesus' name, he found himself crowning Jesus the Lord of all in his life by telling others. His eyes were opened. He understood the source of his righteousness, the source of his salvation, the source of his life, the source of his forgiveness, and he lived in that forgiveness, which compelled Paul to write, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus is my Lord. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things. I count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from obedience to the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ." Paul praised God. His soul was saved for all eternity, and Paul appreciated the gift, the incredible grace. More than that, he was proud. He was privileged to proclaim the gospel and to tell others. In the same way, we appreciate the gospel. We appreciate the fact that we get to come to this altar and eat Christ's body and drink Christ's blood for our salvation, for the forgiveness of our sins. We participate in Christ and with one another. And we're thankful that he's called us in the waters of holy baptism to be his own. And we proudly proclaim for all who hear, all hail the power of Jesus' name. And we're proud and privileged to proclaim what God's grace can do for other people as well. You know, we try to give God our best. We try, as Christians, to do what's right, to do what's good. And we're all for the spreading of Jesus' name. Everybody here wants the name of Jesus to be spread. The only problem is, you don't want to be the one to have to do it. And we're all for spreading the name of Jesus. What's worse, though, is we don't want to have to be the ones to pay for it. Ouch. And yet, we appreciate everything that the gospel gives us. Everything that God has given us. Everything Jesus has done to save us. Let me relate to you a story told by a missionary in the mission field in a very difficult place. It was Africa. And one of his congregational members who had heard the message of Jesus and was so excited about it that he decided he'd go to the other villages to let them know about Jesus too. And it wasn't easy for this man because he had a disease called elephantitis, which is where your joints and your body swells up and your skin becomes, well, like an elephant skin. Very painful. And yet, despite the pain, there he was, carrying the gospel to near villages. One day he found himself on a bus with a Lebanese man, that man's wife, and that man's 3-year-old son. The man's name was Qasim Hatoum, the saint. Qasim Hatoum, the saint. That's when it happened. A Muslim man, an Islamic extremist, entered the bus armed with a bomb. When Qasim saw that the man was about ready to detonate the bomb, without thinking, he immediately handed his wife the son. He immediately ran towards the terrorist. He threw himself on the bomb as it exploded. He died, along with 6 others. But 19 others were wounded and others just simply survived. However, his wife and son were also those who survived, as well as the missionary who lived to tell the story, or the man who shared the faith. It was an act of heroism. Now, I ask you, if you had a relative like that, would you tell people what he'd done? How many times do you think that wife is telling the story to her friends about what her husband had done? How many times do you think that that mom was telling her child the heroic act of her father? The sacrificial sacrifice that he made for lives that day. Can you make the connection to Jesus' story? I hope you can. Because Jesus has made a loving sacrifice for us. He has made a loving sacrifice for all who believe, all who are saved in Christ, and we are determined to tell the story, determined to tell the act of love, the act of salvation, the act of grace of a Christ who died on the cross and rose that people might have life. And we preach the gospel to people, and when we do that, when we preach to the lost, we're keenly sensitive that they're lost. They're not Christians. They don't think like us. They don't act like us. They don't understand things like us. They're unbelievers and they live in sin. And we're sensitive to their situation. Paul writes, I've made myself a servant to all that I might win more of them. He says, when I'm with the Gentiles who follow all the Jewish customs and ceremonies, I don't argue, even though I don't agree, because I want to help them. With the heathen, I agree with them as much as I can, except, of course, that I must always do what's right as a Christian. And so, by agreeing, I can win their confidence and help them too. That's a translation from the Living Bible. It's a paraphrase, but it puts it into understandable language. When people met Paul, people who do not believe in the Ten Commandments. He understood that. They don't know the law. They may not even know the Ten Commandments. They may not even know God exists. And Paul said, I become like one not having the law that I might win them. That doesn't mean Paul ignored the Ten Commandments. It doesn't mean that he didn't consider them holy and righteous and good. They are. Paul knows how the law works in the heart of the sinner. He wrote all those books in the Bible that talk about that. The law is important to bring people to repentance. The law is important to bring people to faith. However, people won't listen to our messages. The first thing we do is we condemn how they live and how they think and how they talk. We condemn their lives and actions. So before saying or doing anything, we befriend them. Paul spent time loving them, getting to know them, so that they would trust in him. First he loved, then he shared the gospel. The law and the gospel. The whole word of God. He gained their trust, and then he'd tell them the truth. You are a lost sinner and condemned. Repent and believe in Jesus Christ to be saved. Remember the day that Paul preached in Athens. Those people in Greece were an unbelieving people. And he didn't talk about Jesus immediately, but he did notice that they had symbols of their religion everywhere. They had false statues of false gods everywhere. And he didn't immediately start talking about Jesus. He said, I notice you're very religious. You're religious type of people. Well, good. I have a religion for you. And it's the only true religion. Would you like to know more? And then he got to know them and he shared with them eventually when they were ready who this Jesus was and what this Jesus has done to save them. Paul showed sensitivity. He had a concern where they were at spiritually. And that concern opened the door. It gave an opportunity to share the gospel of Christ. And when working with the weak, Paul said, to the weak I become weak, that I might win the weak. I become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. Sharing the gospel is about love. The Ten Commandments are about love. Love God, put Him first, and love the people around us. And we love them by letting them know about Jesus. So love the sinners first. Embrace their brokenness. Walk into their darkness. And then when they're ready, let them know the law, that their souls and their bodies, like ours, fall short of the glory of God, that their sins condemn them, and that they're going to hell unless they repent. And they need to be saved by Jesus. So first we love them, then we tell them about God's love on the cross. We are bound by the chains of love. And we also crown Jesus Lord of all. Jesus, He gave sinners everything that we need. He gave us our life and salvation that we might live. And indeed, Jesus says, if the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. And it's in that pattern. It's in that pattern then that we serve. He gave His life. And it's in that pattern that we respond. In that love of Christ, we respond to crown Him Lord of all. And it's in that pattern that we're determined to seek and save the lost. As we devote ourselves to the message of the gospel, to those who don't understand it, may Jesus help us to go the extra mile, as Paul did, to bring the gospel to a dying world. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.